Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So again, Pastor Patty and Pastor Alex are gone. Again, the Lord's opening doors for us. The Lord's opening doors for us. The Lord is opening doors for us. Got a few prophetic words. John and Angie, please stand if you don't mind. God bless you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're about to do in this house. John and Angie, the Lord would say to you, there has been some things sitting on the shelf. You've had some things sitting on the shelf for a while. You know, the Lord says sometimes you look at it and think, I don't have the time. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't know. Where do we have the time to do all of this, Lord? My plate is full. But the Lord would say to you that I have something honorable for you. I have something good for you, and it is for you. It's for you to begin. It's for you to run with. It's for you to increase even the knowledge of Christ. It's for you, says the Lord. I have something special for you to do. And even where your plate seems already crowded, the Lord says there are some things that I'm moving off your plate. The Lord says make room in your heart for I'm about to pour out some dreams and some visions into your life. I'm about to show you some great and mighty things. The Lord says get ready, get set. Make room in your heart, for there are some new things happening in this season. And the Lord says, I don't want you to walk with it. I don't want you to limp with it. You're going to be fully ready to go. The Lord says, lift up your head, for in this hour, I'm taking you up even into a higher dimension in me. And the Lord says, yes, I'm going to use your hands. And I'm going to use you. Multi-generationally, the Lord says in many generations, the Lord says I have different areas for you to go, and there are different teaching anointings that you have not yet even experienced. But the Lord says you're teachers. You're going to teach. You're going to lead. You're going to lift up. You're going to exalt and encourage my people. And the Lord says there's a group of people already waiting for you. But the Lord says it's not over yet. You were going through your transition. You were going through your season where I had to mentor you, where I had to father you, where I had to pick you up and lift you up, even out of some hardship. But the Lord says the season's coming to an end, and my glory is going to shine upon you even in a new way, says the Lord. Michelle, stand up. The Lord says to you, daughter, he's calling you, daughter. Daughter, I have called you from afar. I've called you from a distance. I've called you even into this place, says the Lord. I've called you not only to hear my word, but you're going to be doers of the word. The Lord says that you're a prayer warrior. You're an intercessor. And the Lord says, I'm raising you up even to stand on the wall like a watchman. I've called you as my warrior bride. I have called you, and I am lifting you up even into that new level of prayer. I'm calling you to be an intercessor for my body. I've called you to be an intercessor for my leaders. I'm calling you out, says the Lord. And even at night, when you want to sleep, the Lord says there'll be a rustling. There will be an awakening by Holy Spirit, calling your heart even to pray for this nation of Canada. The Lord says, daughter, I've called you to stand on the wall. And yes, I'm going to equip you. Yes, I'm going to give you that which you need in this hour. For the Lord says, I'm not going to send you out without equipping you. But the Lord says, you're my warrior. You're my daughter. And I'm calling you to spend some deep moments with me. I want to share with you and impart some new and exciting things into your heart, says the Lord. Cecilia. Cecilia, the Lord would say for you that there's a women's ministry already being birthed in you. There's a ministry to women. There's a ministry to those who have been broken, even suffering brokenness in relationships. The Lord says, I have not even awakened in you some of the giftings and the anointings that's upon your life. But the Lord says, get ready, get set, for the season is brand new before you. My time before you is brand new, and I'm giving giving you some new beginnings in this hour, says the Lord. New beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings. And even though you're feeling some things are dying, some things I have to let go, well, the Lord says, that's me. Because there's some things I need to move out of your life so that you would make room for even those new things that I have for you. But the Lord says there's a ministry that I have brewing in you to be a part of the encouragement, a part of the healing for some women who have gone through great emotional pain. The Lord says people are going to say, send her to Cecilia. Send her to that woman. The Lord says, get ready, get set, for the season before you is brand new. And thank you. And the young man at the back, I just met you and I forgot your name because, sorry, what's your name again? Yes, it's Patrick. Patrick, please stand. The Lord would say for you that it's not a coincidence for you to be here today. The Lord says it's not a coincidence. I have some things I want to show you. I have some things to share with you, Patrick. And the Lord says that I'm calling you out to stand in the forefront. The Lord says you're not one that would gather in groups and just be one of the boys. The Lord says I'm calling you out even to stand in the front. And even to lead. Leadership anointing is upon you, Patrick. And the Lord says that you're not called just to sit in the pews. The Lord says, I'm calling you because there's a work that is available for you. And the Lord says, son, will you come and sit with me? Will you come and break bread with me? For I want to know your heart and I want you to know mine. The Lord says, yes, I have a plan for your life. Yes, I have a way and a will for your life. And I have not forgotten what I had said. I have not forgotten what I had said that I would do. The Lord says, this is your season and it's your time for some new beginnings. New beginnings, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. The whole shalay, baba. The prophetic anointing. Oh, Jeffrey. Jeffrey wanted a word. The Lord says, Jeffrey is seeking me. Jeffrey is seeking me, and he will find me. The Lord says, you've came from a long distance, and you came alone. The Lord says, I called you, even in this season. I've called you alone. I've called you even as I called some prophets. I called them alone. I called you even as I called some leaders. I called them alone. And the Lord says, in the season that you're in, there's a lot of directional answers that you need. Direction for this, Lord. Direction for that, for this. It's a season of transition. And the Lord says, don't stress about what's going on around you. I'm laying a firm foundation for you to walk on. I want you to know that the steps ahead are not going to be so difficult that you can't stand. The Lord says you have the strength to stand. And even as you think I'm walking on uneven ground, the Lord says, no, I'm surrounding you. I am protecting you. And that which has been on your heart, even reunion in your relationships, a reunion for your family, the Lord says, let me work out the details for you, but I don't want you to worry and stress about what's happening in the season. I don't want you to listen to just the words of men. I want you to listen to my spirit in this hour because I am making a way for you where there seems to be no way. The Lord says, what you cannot do, I can do exponentially. I can open doors for you, says the Lord, that men have shut in your face. The Lord says, I'm about to renew your strength. I'm about to take you up to fly like an eagle. For the Lord says, I'm answering some of those questions. When, Lord? When? Why? If? How? How is it going to happen? How is it going to be done? The Lord says, I'm answering the questions, and I'm going to answer them one by one. But I want you to sit back in the boat. Sit back in the boat, and let me row the boat for you. For this is your season to rest in me, Jeffrey. This is your season that I want you to trust in me, even in a deeper way, says the Lord. Hallelujah. This message is called Moving Into Your Season. And hallelujah. Moving into your new season. How many know the season has changed? I think we've come out of sprinter now. When it's cold and hot, in the same day, you don't know what type of weather it is. If you don't like the weather, just wait a few minutes. I had my furnace on. I had my air conditioning on. I would turn one on at night, turn one on in the day, because I don't know what's going on. This is what sprinter is in Canada. It's all over the place. But I'm thinking sprinter is changing now. What do you think? Are we really into spring? Is this it? I turned off my furnace. It's been about 3 or 4 days. And I think that's pretty good. I think I'm holding ground here. This is it. We're in spring. What do you think? Springtime has come. So the season has changed. And so it is in the natural. So it is in the spirit, says the Lord. So it is in the spirit. Then the Lord would say to you, rise up, son, rise up. For even though you feel that you're shifting and changing, the Lord says, you have told me so many things. You've got a lot on your heart, says the Lord. I love to hear what you are thinking about and what you want to do and what you want to say. The Lord says, I'm the one giving you these divine ideas. But the Lord says, I'm going to give you some strategies for time management. Time management. I'm going to show you how to use your time in a way that by the end of the day, you're not exhausted. I'm going to show you how to put all of these ideas and thoughts together. So by the end of the day, you think, dear God, I can't even think anymore. The Lord says, I'm going to show you how to manage your time. I'm going to show you how to put even the work that's at hand and versus the ministry that's at hand. There's a lot on your plate. There's a lot to move through. But the Lord says you need some strategies. And I'm going to give you strategies to maneuver through these times and these seasons that seem to all come at once. But the Lord says, I'm going to bless you, son. I'm going to bless you with those things that you have not even asked me for. But the Lord says that, you know, you're like a Christmas tree with lots of presents under the tree. The Lord says, you haven't even opened up some of your gifts yet. I'm going to show you how to open your gifts, how to open up that doorway for me to anoint you afresh. I'm going to show you how to walk in the mantles that I'm placing upon you. But the Lord says, don't try to run ahead. Just relax in me, for I've got some strategies and some plans for you in this season, says the Lord. The Lord is good. He's good. He's good. Let's break free into God's vision for our life. Let's look at Habakkuk 2, verses 2 to 3. I'm sure you already know this verse, but I love to bring it up again. The Lord is saying the season has shifted, so we're going to have to shift with it. The Lord says, don't look at spring as if it's going to be a drudgery, a season of drudgery, a season of challenges. The Lord says it's a season of shifting, 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 and changing in Jesus' mighty name. And in Habakkuk 2, verses 2 to 3, it says, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. That he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. And though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. Even though the vision is for an appointed time, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not come. You know, in seasons where you are waiting for it, the Lord says there's going to be some surprises happening in this spring season. There's some surprises happening. Hallelujah. And the Lord says, you know, many This is my introduction about what I want to speak to you about today. I'm going to give you 7 points. 7 points about how to align yourself with the vision that the Lord has for you in this season. How to appoint yourself to come into His way, His mandate, and His plan. Many believers find themselves in a season where they feel stuck. You know how many times in my life I have felt stuck? You can't move forward. You can't move back. What am I supposed to be doing? What is it that I'm supposed to do? You just remain stuck. And they know God has spoken promises over their lives. They have dreams, callings, visions from the Lord, yet they seem unable to move forward. And I'm talking about us. Sometimes we're unable to move forward. We're unable to move forward in the timing of the Lord. We're unable to move forward when He says it's time. It's time to do this. It's time to start that business. It's time to write that book. It's time to step up in the area of ministry. It's time to have that talk with your son or daughter. It's time to put that engagement ring on her hand. It's time. When the Lord says it's time, sometimes we're so stuck. We think, He's not talking to me. He's talking to my friend Sharon. It must be Joyce He's talking to, because I'm not ready. Sometimes we're not ready when the Lord's about to break through, even though we pray, even though we ask, even though we're on our knees, dear God, do this, dear God, do that, dear God, open this. But then the Lord comes and He says, it's time. And I say, but what? I'm not ready. I need a haircut. I need to go buy some clothes. I've got to go pay that $20 debt I owe that. I'm not ready. It's usually when we're stuck, when we don't know which direction we're going into. I just had a talk with one of my friends this morning, and he said to me, I don't really know what I want. Do you ever reach a place in your life where you say, I don't know what I want? There's so many things happening around me. I think I can afford this, but I can't. I think I can do this, but I don't. I don't know what I want. That's being stuck. And today the Lord wants to lift up our feet out of the miry clay. He wants us to take our feet out of the cement and move forward. He doesn't want His people stuck. I've been stuck. And I know what it's like when you're waiting and waiting and you think, I can't do anything unless God drops it in my lap. And so you remain stuck. But this is spring. Sprinter is over. And so we're no longer going to be stuck in the mud. We're no longer going to be stuck in our past. We're not going to be stuck with unforgiveness. We're not going to be stuck in denial about our situation. I've been stuck denying that what is happening before me is going to change. Sometimes we deceive ourselves and we deny that what is happening before us is real or unreal. Sometimes we're stuck when the Lord says, let go of that relationship. Let go of that friendship. Let go. But God, I can't. I've been holding on to this thing for years. It's burning me, but I'm unable to move because I'm stuck. The shifting has begun. The changing has begun. The moving has begun. The Lord is shifting us even into this new season. He's shifting us into what He has prepared for us. When we find ourselves in a season where we feel stuck, where we know that God has spoken promises over our lives, we've dreamt it, we've received the calling, we've seen a vision, We have something upon our heart, but we can't move forward. It's time to get out of the season of being stuck. The enemy wants us to believe that being delayed means being denied. How many have felt delay? God, I've waited for so long for this. I no longer wait. Remember Sarah, our beautiful sister, who had waited so long for that promise of God, that just a year before that promise was going to be fulfilled, she said, Sarah laughed. Anne Marie laughed. But God, I've been waiting for this for so long. I've been stuck for so long. And now you're saying it's time to move. It's time. I'm going to give birth to a child. I'm in my 80s or 90s. I've had all of that in life. All of it is gone. All of it is gone, Lord. And now you're telling me I'm going to have a child. But God, can't you see I'm stuck? I'm stuck in believing for so long that I don't have the faith or the grace to believe one more day. And you come and you say, in a year about this time. And Sarah laughed. I'm going to go to John 5, verses 2 to 3. I read from the NIV. It's kind of easy. I don't know if you have it. Hallelujah. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool which an Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered stones or colonnades. And here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. Imagine having a headache for 38 years. Imagine having kidney issues for 38 years. I don't think you'd last that long. But being lame for 38 years, that grates on your mind. That changes your belief system in God. But then one day when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, Jesus asked him, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Do you want to heal of the wound? Do you want to let go of that relationship? What is keeping you? What is keeping you from letting go? Or what is keeping you from beginning something brand new? In God, there are always new beginnings. But what keeps us stuck? I want you to imagine that man coming every day to that pool. Just when the angel is about to stir it, somebody jumps over him with their loved ones and they get healed and he's still there. What do you know what it's like to sit and see people receive their promotion and you sit there? What it's like to see family members buy their first home and you sit there in your apartment 20 years. It's stuck. We get stuck. But Jesus has come to us today, sitting by the pool, thinking, when am I going to be unstuck? And Jesus doesn't lay hands on him right away, Yvonne. Yvonne, the Lord says for you tonight, lift up your hands. I'm anointing you with a healing anointing. Healing anointing upon your hands. You're going to pray for people and see them recover. You're going to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, says the Lord. For I am calling you, daughter, even into a greater level of promotion with me, a deeper place with me, where I'm going to use you as a conduit to those that are sick, to those that need to feel my healing touch. For those who've been sitting on the side of the pool for 38 years, the Lord says, I'm giving you an anointing to unstuck those who don't know how to move forward. Lift up your head, daughter, for the King of Glory is coming to your life, even in a greater dimension. The King of Glory surrounding your life, for he has seen your heart. He has seen the trials that you've gone through. He has seen the challenges that you have faced. And the Lord says, I am so pleased with you, daughter, for you have remained faithful when it was hard, and you remained faithful when it was easy. And the Lord says, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is visiting you even in a new way, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus says, do you want to get well? Do you want me to use you in the realm of prayer? Do you want to teach? Do you want to lead? What keeps you stuck? What's holding you back? We need to answer some questions, because Jesus didn't all of a sudden lay hands on this man. He asked him a question first. Do you want to get well? And the man said, but I have no one to help me into that pool. I have no one to help me into that pool. When the water is stirred, I have no one. When the angel puts his wing in that water and stirs it, I have no one. And while I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Someone else gets that promotion. Someone else gets that job. I've been looking on every site for a job, and all I hear is people getting a job. What about me? I'm stuck. I need to be unstuck. I need to be able to move out of the situation I'm in. I want to move out of my parents' basement. I've lived there 30 years. But Lord, I'm stuck. And every time I try to move up, someone else gets that job. I don't care if it's in a hospital, I just want a job. But Jesus is here today. And Jesus says, what do you want to do? What's keeping you from getting well? Jesus said to him, get up. Say that with me. Get up. Say it again, get up. This is our season where we're gonna get up. We're gonna what? Get up. My grandmother had a donkey, and that donkey was a lazy donkey, but I loved that donkey. And whenever she would load up all her wares to take to market, or tomatoes and all that she was selling, she had to say, drag the donkey. And say, get up, because that donkey didn't want to work. He didn't have any problems going into any pool. He didn't want to go in there at all. And sometimes the Lord has to drag us out of our state because we don't realize we're stuck. Do you know what it is? Not realizing that for years we've been doing the same thing over and over and over. And we become so used to what Satan has given us that we become like this little rodent on a wheel. We just do the same thing day after day after day. And we don't realize I've been stuck in this place for years. I haven't moved. All the things I wanted are leaving, it seems. I haven't done anything that I wanted to do. It's a horrible place to be in, sitting at the pool where miracles happen every day and start to believe it's not for me because I've been stuck for so long. We believe, well, somebody else will get it. Somebody else will get that promotion. Somebody else will get that job. That is not God's attitude towards his kids. He knows who we are, even if we don't. He knows what he's put inside us, even if we won't search it out. He knows who we are and the authority level that we stand in. So when Jesus comes and sees us in our situation, God, I need $100,000. I need $2,000. The Lord says, get up. I am who I said I am. I am who I said I am. So what if you can't get into the pool? I'm here. I'm here. And I am your provider. I am your healer. I am your deliverer. I am the great I am. The great I am. We sang about him this morning. I love it when we worship. And Jesus looks so big in our minds when I worship him. And, you know, Jonathan has all those amazing songs. And then you just see Jesus in this amazing, amazing light and all his brilliance. And you think, I could do anything. I can do this. I can start that business. I can drive to Vancouver and see my sister. There's some trips that the Lord has laid aside. There's some trips coming up. Some people need to pack their suitcase and take the risk. Some people need to buy that plane ticket and go where Jesus said to go instead of staying stuck. The Lord says, get up. Get up. Pick up. Get up. Pick up. Get up. Pick up your mat and walk. Ha ha. We need to identify that what is keeping us stuck. That's number one. Before God can move for us, we must honestly identify what is holding us back. Is it because I'm too tall? Is it because I'm too black? Look at me. Look at me. Look at all the people that's overcome something that seemed impossible. Abraham believed God. Abraham could not have a child. His childbearing years was done. And God came to him and said, you're going to have a son. Abraham didn't look at his culture, his way of life. He didn't look at all that he had because God spoke. When we're stuck and God comes into our realm and speaks, do you know he comes not to bring harm, but he comes to deliver us from evil? Because it's evil for God's people to feel stuck. It's evil for us to be sitting for 30 years in the same pew and worshiping the chair we sit in on Sunday. That's my seat. Joyce is sitting in my seat. I'm telling you, that is small for us when God has so much more. So much more. Identify what is keeping you stuck. Is it fear of failure? I've had it. Sometimes when we have a fear of failure, we have it because we don't think the effort to do something will be rewarded. We think the effort to stand up and believe and to stand up and do what is on my heart, it will be in vain. And so we fear failure, and that keeps us stuck. But not today. We're shaking off these grave clothes. Another fear we have is a fear of success. We want to run the business. We want to start something new. But what if I succeed and I really can't do it? What if I succeed? All the what if questions come in from the enemy, people of God, because God doesn't come in and tell us to do one thing and then on the other side tell us we can't do it. God is not schizophrenic. When he speaks, he speaks. He speaks. And he speaks life. Yes, God, I need that Ford F-1050, but I don't know how to do it, and I'm stuck. Get up, pick up, do something. Faith is an action word. Fear of failure is not an option for God's people. Fear of success is not an option for God's people. Our past disappointments is not optional when the Lord speaks over our lives. Unforgiveness must go. Whoever we're holding in our heart, holding on to them. Oh my goodness, I'll never let this go. You know what they did to me when I was 6? It still runs over in my mind. What she did to me when I was 10, my best friend betrayed me. They did this to me. They did that to me. Let it go. Get up. Get up. Pick up and move out of that place of being stuck in fear, doubt, and unbelief, negative thinking. And after a while, it becomes our comfort zone. We don't want to leave. I like that. Have you ever seen somebody who's bitter? I've run across many people who are bitter. And no matter what you tell them, you can't shake them out of it because the enemy has got them trapped. It's called I'll think of it in a minute. But the enemy has them trapped in that place where they can't move. Well, it's good. Well, it's good, but it's not what I was thinking. Just kidding. I am telling you, I have seen people who are in misery and will not shift or change. That is not us. It's not the people that God is raising up. We must identify what is keeping us stuck and get up out of it. Get up out of that clay. Get up out of that ground that is holding us on. We don't need to hold on to the past anymore because the Lord has paid the price. The price has already been paid. He's already ransomed himself. I am not holding on to something my brother did to me 10 years ago or 20 years ago. I don't even remember them. We're looking forward to the future. We're not holding on to the past. So I'm not going to stay stuck in that place of fear and unbelief. Number two. Release the weight of yesterday. Release it. Philippians 3:13 to 14. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. We forget those things which are behind. It's time to let it go. It's time to say, you know what? It's done. It's over. I'm moving on. Many people cannot move into tomorrow because they're carrying their yesterday on their back. And their back is starting to fold because I can't let go of what that brother did to me, what that sister did to me. And we feel justified in carrying it. The Lord says, no more. What is keeping you from being well? That's it. The past. The past hurts, the past pain. Somebody said that to me yesterday, and I'll never forget what she said to me. We need to shake that stuff off. We can't carry it anymore. It's too heavy for us. Only Jesus can carry that. I want to be free. I want to walk in the freedom that Jesus died for me to have. Therefore, my past is in my past. Hallelujah. So we release the weight of yesterday. And number three, renew your mind with the word of God. Hallelujah. Your destiny will never rise above the level of our thinking. Oh man, when I learned this, man, I was broke. I was alone. I was sitting in the place of lack for many years. And all I thought about was lack, poverty, being broke. I never saw that even though I had Jesus, that he had come to the pool where I had been sitting. And he said, Anne Marie, what's keeping you from being well? But God, I have $5 in my pocket. I've got to put gas in my car, buy milk for the house. Where am I to get all this money with $5? But Anne Marie, poverty was broken off of you a long time ago. You just haven't received it yet. Ha! Are you kidding? What did you say, God? Poverty was broken off of me at the cross. It's me that hasn't seen it, but it was done for me. When I received that revelation, I still only had $5. But I began, I don't know why I did this. It's because I heard it from the Copelands years ago. And she said, we had nothing, nothing. But when I walked down the street and I found a penny, I would pick it up. If I found a dime, I would pick it up. I thought that was a symbol of a seed the Lord was giving me. Out of my poverty, I picked up the pennies off the sidewalks. I picked up the nickels. And I thought, wait a minute, I got to sow this as seed. You're saying to me, God, that I don't have to walk in poverty. I don't have to be sick. I don't have to be broke because you broke the back of poverty on that cross. Are you kidding me? And I'm living here thinking, listening to the enemy over and over in my mind. Every morning I get up, you're broke, you got nothing, sit in the house, you got nowhere to go. And I'm listening to this piece of garbage. Revelation is one word from God can change your life forever. One word from God. One word from God. We renew our mind with that word from God. I picked up my Bible and I read in Matthew. Are you kidding me, God? Pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's what you want to do for me? Good measure, pressed down. Are you kidding me? And I'm sitting here, I can't afford milk. I can't afford. I'm telling you, people of God, this is our secret. Nobody knows. But back in the day, the most that I could ever put in my car was $5. $5. If ever I had $10, it would be a miracle because I could put $10 in gas in my car. $5 was my limit. The enemy did that to me. The enemy did that to me. I am giving you this example. One word from God can break the chain of anything the enemy has said to you. Because when the Lord reveals something to you, it's for you. The enemy can no longer take that from you. And when I began to learn, are you serious? Because I always had this thinking that God was giving us, poverty meant holiness. That's a lie from the enemy in every dimension there is. If you're in poverty, it means you're a good Christian. That's how the enemy works. Comes alongside and tells you a lie. And we live in the lie, believing it's the truth. But when the Lord comes and says, what is keeping you beside that? Paul, why aren't you getting in? Get up, pick up, and move forward. Your destiny is in front, not behind. When the Lord came and said that to me, I began to tithe, and I mean tithe. And I remember it was 1998 when I learned that God had no intention of me being poor. No intention. And I thought, okay, I'm going to tithe. This is it. He's either, the enemy's going to crush me or I'm going to rise up. Is God real? Is God really real? I put my tithe in. I remember on a Sunday morning, I was going to do it because God doesn't want me to be broke. That is not who I am. And that week, everything broke. Everything broke. The enemy settled his warfare against me, settled his missiles against me, because tithing was going to be the thing that breaks the back of poverty. And so he set out. No more was I putting in $5 in the offering. I put in my 10%, and I was gonna fight. I was gonna fight because the Lord had given me one word. One word: get into the pool. Get up. Pick up. I am who I said I am. And I said, God, you're gonna have to prove it. Because I'm broke all the time. You look in my wallet and you just hold it upside down and these little lint bombs will fall out. You look in my bank account and it's negative $56. I'm telling you, many a times I never saw my bank account without that negative beside it. But God said, get up, pick up, because I am God. And I tithe, and the enemy warred against me. And I tithe, and the enemy came against me. And let me give you this testimony. There I am, Saturday morning. I opened my refrigerator. There's nothing in there. You could see how clean and white it was. And the light came on. Sure, laugh. Go ahead, laugh. I can tell that story because that's never happened to me again. So anyways, I got my little kid to look after, and the refrigerator, Pastor Jackson, is empty. And I said, God, you're my provider. You're my provider. You're all I've got. But in about 5 minutes, somebody came knocking on the door. There I am, minding my own business, deciding, should I go back to the thoughts of the enemy or am I going to step out the way God told me? And somebody knocked on the door, and it was my neighbor. And she said, Anne-Marie, I'm so sorry to bother you. And I'm thinking, what? She said, my husband wants me to throw out all the food in our freezer. Because he wants fresh food. And she's just so upset. I bought all this food. I filled up the freezer. There's meat in there. There's pork in there. There's bacon in there. And he wants me to throw it out because he wants fresh food. Anne Marie, I'm so sorry. But would it be okay? Would it be okay if I give you the food because I can't throw it out. That is a waste of money. And me, $5 Anne Marie, I said, of course you can. As if, you know, I'm helping you out. She goes, okay, give me 5 minutes. She runs back to her house. And then the door knocks again in about 15 minutes. She goes, here, take this, take this. She gave me this clear plastic bag, the size of a garbage bag. And she had to pull it into my house. Because the Lord said, you're my kid, and you don't walk in poverty. I poured out all the food on my kitchen table, and I said, Josh, that's my son, come look at this. And by the time I emptied the bag, Yvonne, the whole table, there were pot roasts, there were pork chops, it was just laden with food. Because the Lord said, get up, pack up, and move forward. That's how the Lord works. From that day forward, I have never looked in my fridge. Even now, I look in there and I think I got to clean stuff out. Do you see the shift? There's a shift. Not only do I have a refrigerator upstairs with the freezer, but I got a freezer downstairs that's full. I haven't even looked in there. Because the Lord says, you're mine. And the enemy, when he comes to tell me you can't afford this and you can't afford that, I'm telling you, I would get checks in the mail. One day I went into my bank account and there was money in there that I never put there. And I went to the bank teller because remember, everything is always negative. I said, there's money in my account. She goes, you put it in there. You put it in there. And I'm thinking, well, what am I supposed to say to that? She's telling me I put that money in my account. That's how the Lord works. He puts you in a place where miracles happen every day. If we trust him, if you move with him, if you allow him to give you what you need. Hallelujah. Renew your mind with the word of the Lord. And I often would declare this over my mind. I am chosen. I am called. I am equipped. I am more than a conqueror. Conqueror, God's plans are for me and they are good. Number four, take the step of obedience. Whatever God asks you to do, God is not asking you to do something to harm you. He always asks you to do something that is going to bless you. I gotta go faster now. Number five, I want you to break that agreement with fear. Fear of lack. Fear of not having enough. Fear of always being the one at the end of the line. You're a king's kid. If you're at the end of the line, that's because God's preparing something for you ahead and he's still working it out. Break the agreement with fear and make an agreement with faith. Faith attracts things towards you, but fear takes things from you. I want to attract money. I want to attract wealth. I want to attract real estate. You want to attract those things because you're a king's kid and he can trust you with it. Number six, allow Holy Spirit to rekindle the vision that he once told you. Whether it was to write a children's book, whether it was to sing in the choir, whatever it was, allow Holy Spirit to rekindle that in you. It's not lost. There's nothing lost in the kingdom. Nothing can be lost in the kingdom. Allow him to do that for you. For some of you had some great ideas that you never put to the test. The Lord says, test me. It's not just with money. Test me. Prove me now herewith. He wants to be God in our lives. He wants us to succeed. Success, success, success to us. Are we at number 7? Understand that timing matters. Abraham received the promise but waited years to see it fulfilled. Joseph received the dream but went through a pit and a prison before reaching the palace. The waiting session is not wasted. God uses waiting to prepare us for what he has prepared for us. So if you feel like you're at the back of the line, that's because the Lord is preparing something for you. And he first has to prepare you for the thing. When God is silent, he is often working behind the scenes. You're praying and you're praying, and you're wondering and you're wondering, and the Lord is silent. It's because he's working it out. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. You're not stuck because God has forgotten you. You're not stuck because your destiny has disappeared. You may simply be in a season where God is preparing you, strengthening you, positioning you. And today God is saying, rise up, let go of fear, let go of the disappointment, trust in me again, and take the next step. Your vision still lives. Your calling still stands. Your destiny is still ahead of you. Nothing has been lost, even if you've had to wait years to see it. David had to wait. Moses had to wait. Joseph had to wait. Abraham and Sarah had to wait. Our waiting does not mean denial. Let's pray this together. I'm going to pray and follow after me. Make this declaration over our lives. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have a purpose and a destiny for my life. Forgive me for allowing fear, disappointment, doubt, or past failures to keep me stuck. Today I release every burden that has hindered my progress. Renew my mind with your word. Restore my vision. Fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. Give me courage to take the next step of faith. I declare that every obstacle, every delay, and every assignment of the enemy is broken. In the name of Jesus, I choose to move forward into the plans you have for me. Lead me into my divine destiny. And let my life bring glory to your name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I believe we have a prayer team that can come on up for those who want some prayer. God is good. I want you to linger in his presence. Don't just walk out to the coffee area. Linger in his presence. He wants you to get to know him the way he knows you. Thank you, Lord. For those who are online, we bless the Lord that you are able to join us. We pray that you receive something from the Lord today. We pray that he touched your heart even in a new way. He visited your home in a special way. He's anointing you again to go after that dream, that vision, that call upon your life. May he bless you exponentially when you rise, when you sit down. And we thank you for joining us at the Transformation Center today. The Lord is good to all. To all, and he is good to you. So thank you for joining us. Have an awesome day and an awesome week.